I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Breaking basketball news, buddy. You're the man. What's going on?
Yes, I am just trying to encroach on Woj's territory, so you call it an OC bomb someday, you know what I mean?
I like it.
We can find a better name than that. There's got to be something with OC that'll be creative. We'll work on it.
Considering his fight career, that sounds like some sort of move, right?
Yeah.
You know, like that sounds sort of, oh, we got him with the OC bomb in
like
the third.
A haymaker.
Know? Yeah, right.
OC haymaker.
So we might need to clarify.
The left hand. Aren't you notorious for your left? You kind of had a solid jaw and a good left hand.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that creative think tank to you guys because I'm just too busy breaking news, you know what I mean?
Well, let's talk about that breaking news, and we went over your tweet, but just to reset it for us, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing that, you know, Rudy's at this kind of breaking point that I think a lot of people have been prognosticating for maybe even a couple of seasons now, and that he feels like he wants to win in his career. And he doesn't think that he and Donovan together are going to win at the level that would be satisfying for someone who's a three-time defensive player of the year. You know, everyone wants a championship in their career. We haven't had one here in Salt Lake City. And he doesn't think that being paired up with Donovan Mitchell especially is going to be the thing that gets him to that point.
You said he'll demand to be traded in the next few days. Does that mean he hasn't expressed this to the Jazz yet, or his agent hasn't, or I mean, what can you elaborate on that?
My understanding is that conversation has yet to happen and is expected to happen in the next couple of days. He's going to express that him or me sentiment, and either ask that he be relocated or that Donovan be relocated.
I'm going to just throw an opinion out, OC, and Ben, you too. I mean, you guys, I'd love to hear your thoughts, but feel free to take it wherever you want to go. You know, Rudy, oftentimes when he makes public statements or something, you know, like this comes along, he's never wrong. You know what I mean? He's never necessarily wrong. Like, Donovan's defense is 100% an issue. You know, where he came out and complimented the Phoenix Suns at the same time, obviously, taking a shot at his own kind of roster. Right down to 9 games into the season, talking about not getting the ball enough. And, you know, you can make an argument for Rudy that he's right when he talks about these things. But I always wonder, you know, what's the smart way to go about it? And so I was a bit surprised by your news today, OC, because I just don't know if this is the right way to accomplish what I do believe is what he wants to accomplish.
And, you know, maybe he and his agents are formulating a better strategy than a simple ultimatum.
Right.
And that's why we haven't had anything. You know, this is from a very trusted hashtag source for me. And, you know, it could be less than 100% complete information from what Rudy and his camp are actually planning on doing. I obviously fully allow for that. But
it seems on message, though, you know, in hindsight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It seems like maybe that's what we should have seen coming.
I guess along those lines, OC, let me ask you a little bit about that. I'm not asking you, obviously, to reveal your source. That's protected information. But, you know, why would somebody come forward with this now? And I've seen a lot of people in your quote tweets and in your mentions saying, like, hey, we're waiting for a more reputable source. No offense to you, but as you say, you're not breaking news Jazz guy.
Yeah.
How does this come along for OC? You know, like I guess how does it get to this point with you?
Pure happenstance, really, you know, talking to people that I know well and that I've known for a long time and talking a little playoff basketball and having one thing lead to another and a conversation like this coming up. And of course, because, you know, I am not Woj, and I am not Ben Anderson for that matter. I'm not Tony Jones. I'm a guy who's, you know, buttering his bread with mostly college football and things like that right now. I'm not employed technically in the local sports market. So there's not really like a big advantage for me to be breaking Jazz news or for anyone to use me as a conduit to break Jazz news. This is just a conversation about a team that, you know, I follow, root for, and whatever. And like I said, it's just kind of pure happenstance that this conversation came up. I'm not digging up Donovan or Rudy news by any means. And I just had a good conversation, and it makes sense to me that Rudy feels the way that he does. So I put it out there because I expect that this conversation between him and his camp and the Jazz is going to happen before too long. And heaven knows I don't want Ben Anderson to have the scoop.
Absolutely not. I totally agree with you, OC. I'm going to spend the rest of my days scooping Ben. That's going to be my my number one goal. Another reason maybe we shouldn't be surprised, OC, is it has felt like change is coming for a variety of reasons. And, you know, going back to unsalvageable and that narrative, you know, it seems like we've known about some grumpiness with this relationship for a while.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think to be fair, right, I think that Donovan and Rudy both have worked a lot on being professional and coexisting and getting along as well as they can. And, you know, maybe away from work, they might like each other a whole lot, and just professionally they're not super compatible. And it's not just a Donovan problem and just a Rudy problem, right? It's the way that consciously or subconsciously the Utah Jazz organization has allowed Donovan Mitchell to become a defensive liability, or that Quinn Snyder and his staff have expected, you know, Rudy to be the guy who cleans up everyone's messes on the defensive end of the floor, and there hasn't been enough contributing to, you know, that effort, right? So when the Jazz have a defensive breakdown, Rudy Gobert is the spearhead of the defensive efforts for the Jazz. He takes a lot of blame, right? Everyone talks about, oh, well, all you have to do is pull him out to the perimeter and then he's ineffective and all that kind of stuff. Well, I think for Rudy, it's probably upsetting that, well, not probably upsetting. I know it's upsetting that he doesn't have support on the perimeter, right? That he doesn't have guys out there. There's no Kawhi Leonard on this team that can lock people down and allow him to stay in the paint and that kind of stuff, right? So it's not just, I don't like Donovan Mitchell and that's why we can't coexist. It's like choices have been made that have allowed Donovan Mitchell to be this and have forced me to be this, and that's not compatible.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.